This is the first public talk by Mr. J. Krishnamurti at Sanam on Sunday, the 8th July, 1984.
What a lovely morning this is, isn't it? A great silence, especially very early in the morning, just as the sun is rising. All the snow-capped mountains, the deep valleys, the vague shadows, and the sense of great immensity. That is beauty. Beauty is very important in our lives. Not merely the romantic side of it, the imaginative side, but the sense of utter silence, especially when you wake up in the morning, looking out of the window, when there is no car passing by, no chattering of people, and this great immensity can only be seen or appreciated when the self is not. What corrupts our daily life as well as nature and the beauty of the earth is our narrow little minds, our selfishness, our brutality, violence, and all the corruption and the wars that are human beings are preparing. All that denies the immensity of life, the goodness of life, the goodness of freedom, and the beauty which is not romantic, that beauty that demands great austerity, a sense of a brain that is at rest, not chattering. This beauty is truth. This beauty is goodness. And we search for it all over the earth in different ways, following various leaders, scriptures, and obeying and disobeying, pursuing various pleasures, all that denies surely the great beauty and the immensity of life. Why is it that we have reduced this immensity of life, which is immense? Why is it that we have made it all so petty, personal, destructive, utterly meaningless? I wonder if one asks this question of ourselves, and one hopes that you will be doing this during all these talks, that we are together going to question everything in our life, doubt everything in our life. Doubt is an extraordinarily important thing. Skepticism. To observe every experience that one has, doubt that very experience, doubt that very thought, doubt that very feeling. So the brain becomes extraordinarily cleansed of all our accumulated experiences, tradition, and so on. This is what we are going to do during all these talks. This is no personal or personality cult. Please understand this. We all want to cling or worship or feel some near someone, person. This, we are accustomed to that. And we are saying this is not a personality cult at all. So please don't build an image about him, the speaker. The speaker is not very valuable. What is valuable, what has significance, is what he is saying. And to understand what he is saying, you must question. Not accept a thing. Which means you have to observe, one has to observe one's own reactions, one's own attitudes, justifications, defenses, and so on. Then it's possible for both of us to communicate with each other. Not theoretically, not in abstraction, but actually. Because we're going to take a very long journey together. No detours at all. We're going together watch this whole phenomenon of life, of which we are. And also please bear in mind that this is not an entertainment. Because we are used to being entertained. It's our habit. Cinema, television, books, novels. We want to be entertained. And religions have become that too, a form of entertainment. So please bear in mind throughout these talks that this is not in any way entertainment. The speaker is not trying to help you. Please bear that in mind very seriously. Because if he is out to help you, then he becomes the leader. A man who then conducts you, tells you what to do, and so. So, this is not entertainment, nor an intellectual feast, because we must use our intellect. It's part of our daily life. It's part of our biological construction. But those of us rather neglect the intellectual capacity and treat the whole thing as a kind of romantic, theoretical activity. So the speaker is not helping you. But we are together, if you will, think, observe, feel the whole extraordinary complex phenomenon of daily living. Please be serious about this, that the speaker is in no way your guide or the abomination of a guru. That means then you become merely a follower. And generally, the followers destroy that which is true. So we are going together. Think. And that's one of the most difficult things to do. Because each one of us have opinions. Very strong opinions. Very strong conclusions. Bias, prejudices, conditioned according to our particular pleasure or experience. So one becomes isolated, and thinking together becomes almost impossible. We do not know, we have not noticed this, even between the wife and her husband, girl and a boyfriend, and so on. They can never think together, observe together the same thing, the same reaction, the same intensity, at the same time. But there's always this division. I think, you think, it's my opinion, my judgment. And so on. So please first see how difficult it is and arduous, requires great attention to think together. Because thinking is very important in our life. All our action is based on thinking. And now, as each one of us feels separate, individualistic, with his own gods, with his own experiences, with his own prejudices, and so on, and thinking together, if we could do that, it would be a marvelous thing. If one could put aside, at least for this hour, put aside our prejudices, our opinions, our tendencies, idiosyncrasies, and observe not according to your observation or my observation, but to observe the mountains together, the beauty, the majesty of those hills, the splendor of sunshine, the running waters, the extraordinary glory of the earth together, and our difficulties also, that we are caught in words. You have a certain meaning to words. or the speaker has a certain meaning to words. And we use the words to communicate, which we must. But also, if one can realize our brain is caught, trapped, captured in words. I wonder if one realizes that. Our words have become extraordinarily important. And so it becomes very superficial. When we are constantly using words, which have become a slogan, repetitive, mechanical, I'm British, I'm French, I'm German, and so on. But to go much deeper than beyond and above the words requires an extraordinary alertness not to be trapped by words. And then only it is possible to think together. Can we do this morning? Actually, be aware of one's own prejudices, opinions, dogmas, our own particular attitudes, and put all those aside for a while, at least. If you can do that, then we can think together. Then we can work together. And also, it's important to realize that this is not an activity of stimulation. The speaker is not trying to stimulate you. He's not acting as a drug so that you are stimulated for this morning and let it peter out during the day. So it's not a stimulation. It's not a propaganda to make you think in a certain way. He's not propagating any ideal, any theory, any belief. Because theories, ideals, beliefs, dogmas have separated human beings. There is the totalitarian ideals and the ideals of so-called freedom, world of freedom. They are at war with each other. And we are also at war with each other. This perpetual conflict in our life. If you cannot get on with one person, either you break away from that person, divorce, all those extraordinarily divisive processes that are going on in our daily life. Please listen to the words and see if they are true. If they are actual, if they have any meaning in our daily life, or these talks and gatherings are something separate, utterly unconnected with our existence, with our daily conduct. If this is possible, one hopes it is, we can then go into very, very complex problems of life. To approach a complex problem, because our life is very, very complex. The society is very complex. Relationship is very complex. Labor, going to the office, all that, the whole psychological as well as social, outward existence is extraordinarily complex. There's no ready answer. There is a ready answer if one goes through with it, sees it clearly right from the beginning. Our life is complex. Therefore, we must approach it very simply. That will be our difficulty. Because our brains are very complex. They have had thousands of experiences. Has accumulated great knowledge, both biologically, psychologically, externally. We have great knowledge about almost everything. I do not know if you have seen lately the television, the birth of a child, how it is conceived, all the complexity of the cells and so on. So our brain is a very complex machine. To understand that, we must approach it very, very simply. But we have very complex mind, brain. We are never directly simple. Simplicity is not merely having one meal or few clothes or and so on. That is very complex too. Simplicity means to have no prejudice, like and dislike. No personality entering into it. To look at the beautiful sky of an evening with the sun just over the hills, the radiance, the extraordinary light and the clarity, to observe all that requires great simplicity of my brain. Not chattering everlastingly. It requires that sense of silence to observe the great immensity of a sunset. So, if all this is fairly clear between us, then we can proceed. But please, this is just the foundation. First couple of bricks. Unless we lay very deep foundations, we cannot go very far. The first movement matters enormously. whether that movement is precise, which is the brick, precise, correct, impersonal, and becomes impersonal when you are considering the whole of life. Objective, non-romantic and sentimentality. And that's what you're doing now, laying the first brick. Having laid it, if you are willing, if you are pursuing it, then we must inquire into a very complex problem, which is time. We are together. The speaker is not telling you, but we are together observing it. To observe is not through the words, but just to look with your eyes first. So this perception is very clear. That perception is denied when you have problems. When you have problems, you can't see clearly. Right? So we're together, be free for this morning at least, to observe the whole content, the significance of time. Because we live by time. Sunrise, sunset, the evening star, and the morning light, the dark and lightness. There's the time of yesterday, time as tomorrow, time as now. Time is now as you're sitting there. So there is time to cover a distance from here to there, time to learn a language, time to write a letter, time to acquire skills, time to experience. So we live by time, both outwardly, externally, and inwardly. Please, this is very important to understand when we go into something which both of us must really understand, not just theoretically, not in an abstract sense, but actually. Because if we understand the nature of time, then perhaps there's a possibility of understanding that which is beyond time. That's much more complex. Don't jump to that. First, we must understand what is, what actually is. And therefore we are inquiring into what is time. You are inquiring too. As we said, time to cover a distance from here to your home, to become an excellent carpenter, to become a great scientist, to write a great novel requires time. and so on. And also, there is time inwardly. I must achieve enlightenment, whatever that may mean. I must reach God, heaven, you know, all that implies time. I am this, violent, but give me time, I'll be free of violence. Please follow, see this actual fact in yourself. The speaker is acting merely as a mirror in which you can see yourself. When you see yourself clearly, the mirror can be thrown away. The mirror is not important. But what is important, what you see in the mirror. The mirror, if it is clear, without any distortion, it shows exactly what your face, how you look, and so on. So we are together, inquiring into time. We have described time outside by the watch. We met here exactly at 10:30. It was exact when I sat on the platform. And there is time also inwardly. One is an apprentice and gradually becomes the master. That takes time. You're a business clerk in an organization, and if you're good at it, you become gradually the manager. That attitude, that way of thinking, has spilled, extended over into the psychological world. I am this, I'll be that. Right? We are understanding each other. So there is time outside by the clock, time inwardly, time between now and death. Right? Now we are going to inquire much more deeply into the nature of time. First of all, one must use our brains to find out, not just accept. The intellect's function is to discern, judge, evaluate. But if you brush aside the intellect as being too lopsided, intellect is part of our structure, part of our being, as emotions. But if you merely cling to your emotions and say intellect doesn't matter, or if you are merely intellectual. So we must have the capacity to look at the whole of it with our brains, with our intellect, with our feeling, with our nerves and our entire being. Right? If you can do it. That's why it requires great attention. Watching every movement of thought. I don't know if you've ever done that. Watching, without trying to distort, every thought. Never letting a single thought escape. That requires attention, watchfulness, great self-awareness. So time that is as the past, the present, and the future. Right? Time as the past. All the accumulated knowledge, experience, all the incidents, the things that we have done which we regret, the things we want to do which is the future, the things that are being done now. Right? So, the present, the now, is the past, of course, is the present, and also the future. Right? Do you understand each other this? Because this is important to understand in order to communicate what we're going to say still further. We are saying, the speaker is saying, that all time, is contained in the now. That is, the past is contained now. That's simple, you can see that. You are past. Right? Your memories, your incidents, your experiences, your failures, your regrets, your remorse, your guilts. All the tradition that you have been brought up in, both the religious and sectarian, the whole of the past is time. Right? We are supposed to be on this earth as human beings 45,000 years or more. Think of the vast accumulated knowledge that we have had. 45,000 years of striving, conflict, misery, unhappiness, joy, sorrow. Right? All that is the past. Clear? All that is now, as you're sitting there, all that is what you are now. And the now also contains the future. I'll show it to you. See, I'm showing it to you. I don't. You understand? You're not meeting, you know? Like two friends walking along in a shady lane, talking about all this. Two great friends who have known each other for some time. There is no animosity between them, no defense, no aggression. Two old friends who have known each other for many years, talk together, perhaps belong to the same club, same tie. Same way of talking. They know each other extraordinarily well. And they're not trying to convince each other of anything. And they're asking this question. What is time? What is the now? The now, one says to the other, contains all time. Because what you are now, you will be tomorrow. Right? So tomorrow is now. Have you understood? I am prejudiced now. I like and dislike people. And tomorrow, I will be prejudiced. I still will be like and dislike, right? So tomorrow, the future is now. Is this clear? Have we understanding each other? This is, please, it's very important to understand this. Not the speaker is putting an extraordinary, some kind of exotic, oriental nonsense. When the Orientals bring something, it will be nonsense. But if you can see this point for yourself, that all time, the past, the present, and the future is contained now. Right? I am what I have been, and what I will be is what I am now. If I don't change now, I will be tomorrow exactly what I am. Clear? Are we together in this? Not verbally, not theoretically, but actually, that we now contain all time apart from learning a language, learning a skill, you understand? Writing a letter, that requires time. To come from one place to another, that requires time. But psychologically, inwardly, all time is now. Right? See the difficulty of it, that there is no tomorrow. There is only now. That means there is no becoming. Right? There is no psychological evolution at all. Now this is good. You understand? It's not, I am going to achieve something. That means time. You understand? I want, say, suppose I want to be illuminated, whatever that may mean, of course. I want to find truth, all the rest of it. That means in the future, right? Clear? The future is now what I am, right? If I don't fundamentally change, the future is what I am tomorrow, right? What I am now tomorrow. Clear? Then, from then, we can go on to something very complex. If we see the truth of this, that there is no psychological evolution at all, there is no becoming, there is no what I am, but what I will be. The future is now. If I don't radically change now, I'll be exactly tomorrow what I am. Right? That means seeing the truth that there is no psychological becoming. The psyche, which is the essence of the self, thinks in terms of becoming, right? You follow all this? This is not an intellectual feat. This is a simple, obvious fact. Christianity is one way of expressing it. Resurrection, reaching God, attaining heaven, which is expressed in the Asiatic world differently, but it's the same movement. Right? That is, I am this, I will gradually become that. That is, never to think in terms of graduality, gradualness. You understand all this? I need time gradually to learn a skill, right? I need many years to learn to dance well in a ballet. From childhood of us begin to play the violin. I must begin when I'm very, very young. If I've got the talent, if I've got the passion behind it. And also, I feel the same movement is carried over into the psychological area. I must one day reach. Right? That's why you belong to various groups, various gurus. You put on various dresses. Robes be different because you want to achieve something. So, if you see the truth, the absolute truth, that all time is contained in the now. To realize the depth of it is rather frightening. When you say, I hope to see you tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, you understand? So, either that love is now in its entirety or not at all. If this is very clear, the absolute clarity of it, that the psyche has no future. You understand? That you have no future. That is because what you are now, you will be. Unless fundamental mutation, which is a biological word, but good word to use. Unless there is mutation. Now, you will be what you are tomorrow. So, realizing that as an actuality, not a theory, not a supposition, not something, some ideal, all that nonsense, but fact, then we must begin to inquire. Into what is action? Into what is relationship? Into what is change? Right? Change, action, and relationship. If I understand, if that truth, that all time is now, then what's my action? What is then action? Please inquire. Then go to sleep. Sorry, forgive me. If the speaker is emphatic, please, it is not that he's aggressive. The speaker feels very strongly about this matter. Humanity is destroying itself. Right? All over the world there, terrible things are happening. They are preparing all kinds of horrors. The scientists throughout the world. Gas warfare, germ warfare, these terrible missiles, atom bombs, neutron bombs. We were at one of the centers where they are preparing all this. Top scientists. We casually go on every day of our life, not paying any attention to all that. When you are aware of all the things of happening in the world, which is you, around you, you feel utterly responsible, not for yourself, for this whole humanity, not just for Switzerland. I know you, this means nothing to most of us, because we all just want to go on with our old traditions, our old habits, our old defensive mechanisms and so on. So when we realize all time is now, it's a marvelous truth, then what is action? What is our present action? We must begin with the actual, to find out what real action is, which has no future. You understand what I mean? What is our present action? Action, the doing. Is either based on memory, the past, right? Memory which has been accumulated through various experiments, experiences. So the past dictates action. Right? Are you following? Please go on. Or the future dictates the action, the ideal, the theoretical concepts of the communists, dialecticism, you know all that. So, action is according to the past, memories, past remembrances, past hates, past dislikes, past prejudices, past personal attitudes. That's all the past. According to that past, there is action. Right? But in the scientific world, on the psychological world, action there is invention, right? You understand? Are we together in all this? Am I going all by myself? There was a collection of top scientists in a certain place, at Los Alamos in New Mexico in America. They invited the speaker to talk to. There were 700 top scientists of America creating all the things for war. They ask what is creation in science. You understand? What is creation in science? I said, there is no creation in science, there is only invention. We'll go into that part. What the speaker wants to explain is that the past is so formidable, so strong, that guides, controls, shapes our action. Right? Or you have a future ideal, future theories, and act according to those theories as approximatingly as possible, right? Past, memories, and the future theories, ideals, concepts, dogmas, faith. So action is based on these two principles, right? Clear? Of course, this is simple. But when one realizes all action is now, there is no future action. You understand? Because the future is now. I must go over. If that is not clear, that all time is now, contained in the now. Right? We agreed. You agreed 2 minutes ago. At least shook your head. Some of you. Indicating that you are following, you saw the fact of it. Now, if there is no future, because the future is now, and the past is now, then what is action? We said action, as we know it now, is based on the past, memories, regrets, guilt, experience, which is all knowledge, or the future, the ideal, the concepts, right? Theories, faiths. You act according to that. So you are acting according to the past or to the future. But the past and the future are now. Right? So what is action? You understand my question? Please do and don't give up. You have to exercise your brain, your intellect, your energy to find out. Your passion to find out. What is action if there is, what is action when all time is now? What's your answer? What's your deep, truthful answer? When the brain, listen to it, when the brain is conditioned to act according to the past or to the future. And when the truth is, all time is now, therefore there is no future but now. The future is contained in the now. And the past is contained in the now. You understand all this? So what is action? I can tell you, but you see, you're waiting for me to tell you. Too bad, you're not really going into it. You're waiting for somebody to explain all this. Suppose there was nobody to explain to you. What will you do? you have seen the truth of something. The truth that all time, the past, the future, is in the now. You see. And you meet a man who says, look, what is action? And leaves you. And you have to find out. Because when once you have seen the truth that all time is now, that truth will never leave you. You understand? It's like a thorn, like an arrow in your body that will not be extracted, pulled out. So you have to answer. And you won't answer it because you are incapable of answering it. Because our brain is conditioned to the past, action according to the past or according to the future. So one has to tackle that problem first, whether the brain can be free from the past. Careful now, I need memory to function in the world, right? To go to my office, to do lab, to work in the laboratory or in a factory or some skill, I need great deal of time, great deal of knowledge. There's a becoming there. Right? I don't know, but I will know. That same movement, same, it is extended, that same thought is extended into the psychological world. I am this, I will be that. Right? Now, you perhaps have seen for yourself very clearly the truth that all time is now. And the speaker says, find out. What is action? Right? Your action has been according to the past memories, past training, past experience, which has conditioned the brain and also conditioned the brain to the future idea, ideal concepts, I must be and so on. Can the brain be free of these two? You understand? Are you following all this? You understand my question, sir?
Yes.
Can the brain, which has been conditioned to act according to past memories, or thought has projected a concept, an ideal, a theory, according to which you are acting. The brain is conditioned that way. Can the brain be free of that? Otherwise you will never find out what action now is. You understand? Somebody can explain, but it won't be your own depth of your own understanding. Clear? I'll explain it. I'll go into it. This will be verbal explanation, naturally. It won't be something you yourself have discovered and therefore truth, and therefore live according to it. We have to inquire into what is perception, seeing, perceiving. One perceives the fact, actually, all time is now. That's a fact. Irrevocable fact. No other clever man comes along and says, sorry, that's not like that. If what you have discovered is truth, then you can meet any challenge. You won't be bowled over. Écoutez, madame, you can ask this question, your question, write it down, we'll answer it, not now. I hope you don't mind. What is action which is totally independent of the past and the future? Right? What is action which is not dependent on the past or the future? Right? Is there an action which is so complete now, not fragmented? You understand? That's my action. Human action is based on the past or the future. Therefore, it's fragmented. Right? It's broken up. So we're asking, is there an action which is totally free of fragmentation? I don't see the beauty of the question itself. Therefore, there is, the speaker says, there is such an action. And that action is to see. The seeing is the doing. There is no interval of time between the seeing, perceiving, understanding, and the doing. The understanding, perceiving, the seeing is action itself. Say, for instance, I'm working so hard, come on. One perceives very clearly, objectively, without any bias, that all organized religions throughout the world, all of them, are based on superstition, faith, belief, tradition. Obviously, with their various forms of rituals, dresses, fancy dresses, and so on, so on, so on. You see, that is put together by thought, whether the ancient thought or present thought. It's put together by thought, right? Therefore, as thought being limited, it must be limited. Because thought, I'll briefly explain to you, thought is the outcome of memory. Memory is part of knowledge. Knowledge is outcome of experience. Right? There is no complete knowledge. In the scientific world, they're adding knowledge up, right? Bit by bit by bit by bit. 1,000 people or 100,000 people are adding to it day after day, day after day. Right? Therefore, the more is limited. Right? So experience is limited. Experience of a man who says, I've reached God, is limited. Right? So knowledge, whether now or in the future, is limited. Therefore, thought is limited. Right? So, anything that thought has put together, both externally or inwardly, is limited. Right? So, action based on thought is limited. Get it? Hear it for the first time, for God's sake. All action is, if it is based on thought, will always be limited. Therefore, that which is limited must invariably create conflict. If I am thinking about myself all day long, as most people do, it's a very small affair, right? I must practice, I must meditate, I must not do this, I must not do that. You follow? I must seek, I must have no conflict, I must meditate. It's all very self-centered activity. And therefore it's very limited. Right? So thought is limited. Is there an action which is not based on thought? Thought is the past. All the memories, all the tradition, all that. And thought also has projected the future. The ideal, the communist theories is still limited. So, if we are acting according to the past or to the future, it is still limited. Right? Therefore, bringing enormous conflict and confusion. Obviously. So, is there an action which is not based on the past or the future, because all time is now? Is there an action which is so complete now? You understand? Which means seeing something clearly is to act instantly. I see very clearly, the speaker sees very clearly, to belong to any organization, especially spiritual organizations, is utterly detrimental, limited. Therefore, don't belong to anything. Yes, sir. Because to belong to something gives us security. We won't feel safe. The guru knows I don't, therefore I'll follow him. It's a form of deception, insecurity. Right? So, one perceives that, an instant action. The whole thing, you're free of the whole so-called spiritual leadership. That requires, you understand, it's not strength, mere perception of seeing what is. It's 11:45. An hour and a quarter. I hope you're on time. We'll continue on Tuesday morning. Please, if one may remind you, life is a complex, you can't take parts of it and say, I understand, go away. It requires the whole of it, not just part of it. We're only just beginning very small part of it. We're going to talk about fear, relationship, meditation, sorrow, the whole complex problem of our daily living. If you read a book, you don't read the first chapter. You must go through the very end of it. Not, we are inviting you to stay, come to all the meetings. I don't care. The speaker doesn't care if you come or don't come. But what is important is, if you begin, go to the very end of it. Don't stop in the middle of it. Right? Put all your energy into it. May I get up now?